With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio. Happy Friday morning. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. They are back on Monday. Got a big NFL hour coming your way. Got John Middlecoff coming up in about 20 minutes, former NFL scout, host of the 3 and Out podcast. Got the latest on Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Doug, let me just ask this before we get into LeBron. How much money would you need to do the Aaron Rodgers cleanse? Like, if you got to do this 12-day cleanse of forced vomiting and other bodily functions and medicine and milk and juice up your nose, what's the dollar amount for you to say, okay, I will do this for the next 12 days?
Well, in negotiation, it's all the same, right? You throw out a really, really high number.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So I would say I would need $100,000. That would be a high, high number. But I'd, you know, it's like you start out high knowing that there's a reasonable place you'd end up landing on, and you'd still, like, if somebody's going to give you $50,000 to do it, everybody does it.
So you'd come down to 50. Like, you'd start at 100, but 50 is where you would stop.
Yeah, probably about 50. I mean, I you know, like, I 12 days, so do I have to miss work for 12 days?
That's a lot, man.
It's a lot. Even if you sandwich it in with a couple weekends, right? So that chews up four of your days, and that's like eight other days you're missing of work. So yeah, I'd probably stick more to the 100, maybe even a little bit more than 100, just out of the work thing alone.
You don't think you'd be able to work? I mean, you can't just say, "Hey, I need a minute to go force vomit and then come back and work."
I don't think so. You're supposed to like shut everything off from society. That would be the hardest part. Like, the forced vomiting would stink, but, you know, at least the first time you throw up, you'd actually feel better. I don't know if anybody, how much of this forced vomiting I need to do. Okay. I could just do the, oh, no, I totally threw up there. Like, I would, yeah, the cleansing thing, that would be weird, and the stuff you'd eat, and you'd probably be just starved, dying, hungry, and weak. But I would say it's like six figures is a good. Somebody offers you $100,000 to do something for a week and a half, you're going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't think I'd come down off $100,000 though. The way you describe it more about certain, you know, you have to be, I didn't know you have to shut everything out and not do anything, which is probably why he missed Instagram so much. Oh, I got to come back out and
come back on the gram.
Yeah, I got to come back. I got to purify my body and then get on social media. That's Aaron Rodgers. First thing I got to do, I got to thank everybody on Instagram. I don't know that I would come more off $100,000, because boy, after those first couple of times that forced vomiting, that would just be awful. Oh, yeah, I can't even imagine that.
Not be fun at all. Just the thought of it makes me want to throw up. That's... No.
Doug's going to miss the rest of the show as he goes and forced vomits. So last night in the NBA, we watched yet another incredible effort of DeMar DeRozan, who had another 35-point game, 37 points for DeRozan, now tying the mark of most consecutive 35-point games in a row set by James Harden a couple of years ago. And while we marvel at DeRozan and how great it is for the Bulls to be good, because look, when the heritage teams are good in sports, it's always better for the sport, and the Bulls have that amount of retro and excitement. The Bulls are good again. It's great for the sport. This is something I know, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, and you've been on Twitter talking about this, is that the DeMar DeRozan success this year really underscores just how much the Lakers' failure of getting Russell Westbrook was, because they could have had DeMar DeRozan if they wanted him.
They could have. Yeah. As look, I've told people what has been reported is more true than people know, which is they had decided on trading for Buddy Hield. That trade was essentially agreed to and done. They were kind of sticking points in terms of trading Talen Horton Tucker, sign and trade for him or whatever. But they had decided, and Sacramento was going to trade Buddy Hield, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis like, nah, we want to have a third guy. You know, we need somebody to create shots for everybody else. One, as LeBron ages, and two, when LeBron's out of the game or not even playing. Like, the expectations are that neither of those guys were going to play all 82. And they did, like, interviews. And DeRozan thought he was going to be the guy. He even told his friends he's going to be the guy. And instead, they chose Russell Westbrook. And then, you know, DeMar DeRozan, if you haven't been paying attention to what he's been doing, you're missing one of the all-time heaters in the NBA. And he's doing it really kind of Kobe Bryant style, right? Or mid-range. He's the master of the mid-range. He has been incredible. It wasn't just they had 37 last night. He had 37 on how many shots? It was like on 15 shots or something. It was crazy. 37, 38, 40, 38. Like, these are the last couple games that he's had. You know, he's averaging 28.3 points per game. In the month of February, 36 points per game. You know, he took 21 shots, 15 of 21. So it's not just that he's killing it. He's doing it shooting 60%, you know, 58% from the field. And doing it anti-analytic style, but different than LeBron, different than Anthony Davis. My guess is he would have fit in perfectly. And he plays defense as well, and he'll pass. So this was a major swing and a miss, whether it was GM LeBron James, GM Anthony Davis, or GM Rich Paul. That decision is one that has hurt this team this year and next year.
See, and you're talking about the future of the Lakers, and this is a reason why LeBron is going to end up leaving the Lakers, and he's going to be a villain, and he's going to be someone that the fans say, oh, man, yes, we won the title in 2020. But he's never been embraced. He's never been Kobe. He's never been Shaq. They just the fan base just hasn't taken to him because he's got the image of, hey, I'm out here to win. I'm out here for the Lakers brand and to make my business better. That's what I am. And he's always been at arm's length with the organization, with the fans. And so when he goes, it's going to be, oh, wow, yeah, you won the title in 2020, but now look at what's happened right now. The team is a mess. You know, they got no first-round picks until the Bobby Bonilla situation is done. You know, they didn't want to trade one in 2027 for John Wall. It's like, if you don't have one until then, why not, right? I mean, what's one more year at this point? None of these guys are going to be running the Lakers in 5 years, so why not? But he's going to wind up going, and with the ever evolving, boy, the mess of the Lakers, and they can't get out of it. With every growing loss, it's going to be LeBron just showed up, you know, did his thing, put his influence on the organization. It didn't work. Then he backed away and said, oop, okay, good luck. Boy, this team is a mess. I'm going to go play my last year in Cleveland with Bronny. Good luck, everybody. That's why I look at how it's going to end for LeBron here, and it's not going to be pretty. And it's going to be and all that's left, I think, now is how good you can make it. There's no good outcome, you know, short of the team figuring things out in the offseason and making some crazy trades and go, but that's not going to happen. He's going to wind up leaving. The fan base is going to resent him because they turned the Lakers into a dumpster fire, and that's how he's going to walk away from this team. And it's shocking to think, but that's how I see it going.
You know, what's interesting is I agree that if it ends, I'm not convinced that it ends in L.A. when his contract runs out, you know, in a year and a half. But it wouldn't stun me. I think we can both, and just so people understand, you're listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Jason McIntyre, Doug Gottlieb.
I'm Jason Smith, actually.
Jason Smith. Now it's Monday. My bad, dude. It's kind of like you call it the Jason Smith Show, and I do that. I apologize to you. But the point is, we both live in Southern California. So if you're listening to us in, you know, where Dan lives in Connecticut or wherever you are throughout the country, I can only tell you that though it still feels weird, I think, everybody to see him in a Lakers jersey. For Laker fans, like, he's on the Lakers, but not of the Lakers. I hope, like, no one's going to say he's synonymous with the Lakers. And, like, it would be so forced if he leaves and, like, do you put his jersey up in the rafters? Like, it almost feels like that's kind of why he's doing it. So his jersey's up with the most historic names in the history of basketball hanging in what was Staples and now Crypto, right? So he's not really embraced like a true Laker, so I don't think he'd be a villain. On the other hand, yeah, I do think it'll end poorly because they've basically depleted all their resources in order to try and make it work. Now, in fairness to LeBron, it ended poorly with Kobe. Just the feelings weren't, because he had 60, because he was Kobe, because he won 5 titles, and because of how he purported himself post-career, people don't remember just how ugly it was when they gave him that terrible contract, $48 million 2 years, when he was coming off Achilles tendon surgery, and they were bad, right? And kind of similarly, like, Kobe's contract and the way Kobe played didn't allow them to be good at all at the end. That does feel like how it'll end with the Lakers.
And the reason I say the villain is because of how it's going to play out over time. If I thought the Lakers could immediately say, okay, we're moving on from the LeBron era, right? We're going to trade LeBron, or LeBron's going to find his way away. We're free from that money. We're going to free up. We're going to trade Anthony Davis, and we're going to reset, right? We're going to get Zion. We're going to get Damian Lillard. We're going to come in. Okay, hey, we were able to do it, right? It's not LeBron, but we're able to continue to stay competitive. We're bringing in a couple of more stars. But they're not going to be able to do that. And that's why the resentment's just going to grow over time. It's like when you have a breakup with someone and you think you're okay, and then as time goes on, it's like you just start obsessing over it. And every day you're going, man, that I can't believe that she did that. I went through that. And every day, it just, until you can move on and find somebody else, you just get down that darker, darker path. And that's kind of how I see things with the Lakers. It's the longer they go where they suck, it's not going to be, boy, Rob Pelinka screwed this up, and I can't believe Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis couldn't figure it. It's going to be LeBron screwed us. He showed up and he tried to run the franchise, and he was, and they allowed him to do his thing, and none of it worked, and then he just walked away. Like, that's why I think he's going to get the venom, because of how the after effects are going to go and how long it's going to take the Lakers to come out of this.
I don't know. I mean, you know, part of it was Chris Bosh had to retire early, but he didn't leave Miami in great shape. He didn't leave Cleveland in good shape either time. And never was he seen as the villain in Cleveland or the villain in Miami nationally for leaving. So look, he had great success in Miami. 2 titles, 4 finals, 4 years on a championship-built team where it was brilliant, not just building up Miami and joining Dwayne Wade's club, but taking Chris Bosh, which took 2 playoff competitors of the East out of the way. Right? It was amazing what they were able to do. But he left it in shambles. He left Cleveland in shambles 2 times over, and he was never made to be the villain in Cleveland because of it. I don't think he'd be made to be the villain in L.A. It would just be very transactional, which is how LeBron handles all these team relationships. He has no emotional ties to them. And I think the Lakers don't have true emotional ties to him. I think it's just a business relationship.
All right, to bring this full circle here back, we started with talking about DeMar DeRozan with this and how they could have had him and maybe things would be different. Can he win the MVP?
Why not?
This is the second heater he's been on. Remember that heater right around Chris? And, it was the holidays, and I don't think it got as much attention. But what did he win, 4 games in a row with a last-second shot? I mean, he's had that heater. He's had this heater. I mean, I think he should be at the top of any MVP discussion.
Well, I mean, still, look at what Jokic is doing. They still don't have Jamal Murray. I mean, he's got it. I don't know why he's not. And Joel Embiid has been incredible this year. He's probably the most talented player in the league in terms of he got size, athleticism, overall skill set. And as long as he stays healthy, he'll be a favorite to win it. I still think you have Giannis has got to be in the discussion. Ja Morant, I mean, I know he got hurt again last night, whatever, but Ja Morant's team is legit, and Ja Morant is kind of unguardable in the regular season. I don't know if the shooting, he's been able to hit shots. I don't know what the shooting looks like when he gets to the postseason. And then you have LeBron. So can he? Yes. Will he? No. DeMar DeRozan won't win the MVP. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works with you to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense.
Now, wait, you mentioned LeBron there at the end in your talk there. Look, Jokic, I could see the fatigue of not voting for him because, we won it last year. James Harden's going to get a lot of the attention now if the Sixers start winning, really winning. Oh, well, look at the addition of James Harden. That's going to hurt Embiid. Is LeBron really an MVP? Is he at the point where is he still making the Lakers better, or is he kind of just getting his? Like, is he at the point where he was in his career where whenever he's on the floor, everything he's making everybody better? Or is he at the point now where he's getting his stats?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, look, they're better with him. Do I think all of his points and when he was playing center helped them win? The answer is no, right? Because the mismatch that he had on the offensive end was a mismatch on the defensive end, and he's frankly hurt them. But I truly believe this. LeBron is scoring. One, it does help him with. He wanted to pass Kareem's record. He wants to cement his legacy. That's important to him. But it's also they need his scoring. They just don't have that elsewhere. So some of it is out of kind of greed and desire for legacy stats, and some of it is also out of pure necessity based upon this team when they didn't have Anthony Davis. Who else is going to put the ball in the basket? And some of it is the fact that. And this hasn't been mentioned. When he was playing center and he was on a heater, that was during a time when it seemed like half the league was out with COVID. And you're going half the game, you're going against either backups or G League players. So the stats, and it's not just him, the stats for everybody aren't necessarily telling in the first half of the season because of all those factors.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Coming up next, we get to the National Football League. Are we really going to get an Aaron Rodgers decision? Are we going to get a decision on another quarterback who potentially could be coming back to play? Keep it right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
If you're a valued customer. Oh, if you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Discover exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
It is the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Dan. We step over each other all the time in our conversation. It's all good. Doug, we're going to have John Middlecoff on in a couple minutes, a former NFL scout, Three and Out podcast, comes on the Dan Patrick Show all the time. We're going to talk Aaron Rodgers, potentially a decision coming soon over whether he's going to come back, whether he's going to get traded, whether he's going to retire. I can't see retiring being on the table. Right. Of the three possible outcomes, because there's only three outcomes, unless he decides, well, screw this. If guys are getting $18 million a year, I'm going to go announce the games. I don't have to worry about getting hit at all. I really don't see retiring being on the table. If that was the case, I think he would have done that already. And we would have seen that. And it's going to be one of the other two. I think that's by far and away the third option.
I think retiring is the if they won't trade him. That's where retirement comes from, because he can't. He's under contract. It's very important for people to mention. Like, remember, like in no way do they have to trade him. None, zero, and in no way does he get to make a clear decision on where he's going to go and what he's going to do. He can say, you know, I want to play somewhere else, but they do not have to trade him. He is under contract with the Green Bay Packers, I believe, for two more years, because we never got any clarity as to whether or not they changed the contract, which had 2 years left. It's just like Devontae Adams, you know. Devontae Adams can, you know, they can franchise tag him if they can negotiate a long-term deal, or they could still trade him if they franchise tag him. But putting the tag on him simply says, like, yeah, we're controlling your fate. That's the nature of these contracts. It's not even a franchise tag. Aaron Rodgers is under contract at least for this year, and again, based on the contract when it was signed, two more years. So that's important to mention. I think the retirement thing is simply that's the clause he's going to try and trigger. Now, if he retires and he wants to play somewhere else, it becomes kind of the standoff like you had with Brett Favre, with Carson Palmer, and the Packers can trade him or the Packers can allow him to retire. Either way, it's you know, at that point, you would say, well, you know, what are you going to do? You get some value out of it. But they may stick their feet in the ground and say, we're not trading him. No, thanks. We want him.
With us now on the hotline, he's on Twitter, at John Middlecoff. That is at John Middlecoff, former NFL scout with the Eagles, host of the 3 and Out podcast on Volume Sports. You hear him on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, here all the time. All right, John, where are you? The most likely outcome for Aaron Rodgers of the three, least likely outcome. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I would have said before the season and mid-season, even when it was going well, it was his last year in Green Bay. You know, goodbye, swan song, MVP, number one seed. And then they lost, and you're like, And the way he's kind of acted, it does feel like the chances of him going back are pretty strong. I disagree, Doug, that if he wanted out, like if he went NBA, like you have to trade me, I do think they would trade him. Just because his value is so sky high, what are you going to do, you know, if he doesn't want to be there? But he's not giving off those vibes right now. You know, Russell Wilson kind of gives off those vibes. But I'll give Aaron credit on this. Unlike Russell, Aaron for the last 12 months, you know, maybe not 12 months, but since the season started, has been pretty open with where he stands and the way he's talked. And I watched Gutekunst's press conference a couple days ago. It does feel, and Gutekunst deserves a lot of credit on this, their relationship is pretty good. We know how good the coach, how much Aaron likes LaFleur, but I think Gutekunst deserves a lot of credit for figuring out a way, because they don't teach you that in scout school. You either know how to deal with people or you don't. And especially Aaron, let's face it, it's a little different. But Gutekunst, to me, deserves a lot of credit for just figuring out, kissing his butt's probably the wrong way to put it, but just, you know, placating to him a little.
Well, I'm creating a relationship there. There has to be some – by the way, you working on a cold there, bud? Is that what's
going
on?
Yeah, the cold is out of retirement. It's like Eric Weddle. It's back now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's one of the problems of playing golf every single day. That's like at some point you're going to run into weather. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out, former NFL scout, former assistant in college as well. Okay, so are you now of the camp that he's staying, that he's going to get a new contract?
I mean, I think it's pretty likely that he stays. I would have said it was like he's good as gone. Now I feel like 50-50. It's either he goes to Denver or he stays in Green Bay. I mean, ultimately, from a football perspective, and I think the more he realizes this, they'll do whatever it takes and they'll keep winning, and the division stinks. How would Green Bay not be a 12-win team next year? I mean, they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. We can't just say that about Denver. Everyone's like, oh, he'll be so good in Denver. They haven't won in forever. They have a first-time head coach, and I know it's Aaron's guy, but you know you can win in Green Bay. Because if Aaron comes back, that means Devontae's coming back. They'll sign some contracts, they'll move some money around, and they'll add to the team.
Are they really that close to being a championship team? And we watched them with home field this year. They couldn't score against the Niners. They had a home playoff game last year. They didn't get enough done on offense. They still have a long ways to go. I mean, we have this image of the Packers. Oh, boy, they're right there. But are they really right there?
Well, I think their problem is they're actually better suited to play on the road in the playoffs than at home.
Yep.
Because, you know, in January, it's negative 10, and it's just freezing cold. And their best attribute is their quarterback and their wide receiver. And it's just, you know, if that game wasn't San Francisco or Levi Stadium in round two, it would have been much harder for the Niners to win that game. Now, obviously, the Niners would have been better on offense, but the Green Bay would have been dramatically better on offense. So the problem is going to be is they're always going to win that division. Now, do they have the best record? They have home field throughout. But to me, as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's a quarterback league. Now, does the team have some flaws? But, you know, Jair Alexander missed the majority of the year. He's a really good player. The safety Savage is good. Kenny Clark's good. If you can bring back some of those older pass rushers that are free agents, and you, as long as you got Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams, I mean, that's pretty darn good, isn't it?
Well, remember they didn't have Bakhtiari either. I'm sure they'll restructure that new deal.
They've always drafted well with offensive linemen, so they
you know. And then AJ Dillon got hurt in that game as well. I mean, part of the running attack. He's the power to Aaron Jones. I also thought Gutekunst, he framed it correctly. I don't know if you guys heard part of that press conference. He's like, we're just as close as anybody. You know, that. I think is an accurate assessment, especially in the NFC. Help me out. I was kind of explaining to Jason what I had heard about Bieniemy in terms of as a head coach. But a story out today is he's back as a Kansas City offensive coordinator. This was very much in doubt. Why? What's going on there in Kansas City between Bieniemy and Mahomes and the rest of that staff?
Well, there was an article last week about Mahomes and his relationship. And it's not normal to have a situation where the guy signs a contract, you know, at the end of February, you know, especially with a team that's had that much success. So clearly they had some stuff to work out. And I would imagine, I don't have any inside information on this, that they had to just make sure everyone was on the same page. And I think that was the quarterback, him, and Coach Reed. And let's face it, Coach Reed is the boss on this one. So he must have felt comfortable with bringing him back. I mean, the media, it has a different vibe. I mean, he's had 15 head coaching interviews, and he hasn't got a job. So, you know, he's not some perfect candidate. And he almost, like, let's call a spade a spade, he almost got fired in Kansas City. I don't know all the details of what happened, but that's where it was headed. You know, fired, not renewed, whatever, but not retained. So, you know, he should be very, very thankful that whatever played itself out and that he's still there, because it is an incredible job to have, right? I mean, you get Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, does it get much better?
Is it part of the relationship? You know, Doug talked about how, you know, maybe Mahomes, you know, he wouldn't be his favorite guy, but if it was really that bad, they would have let him go. No, I mean, if it was really, really that bad, they would have said, okay, we're making a move and you're not going to be the OC anymore.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Kansas City's not like New England. You know, it's not like an angry place. So even if you have some quote-unquote discomfort or people aren't on the same page, you know, you can talk your way through it. You know, I mean, I think that starts with Andy. It's not like the contentious nature of football. He has a unique feel for that. So even if you have some disagreements or guys aren't on the same page, he's pretty good at mending fences or getting everyone on the same page. Especially, I mean, they like Eric Bieniemy personally. You know, he's a good football coach. But clearly there was some a discontent. There was a gap between, I think, the quarterback and him. And, you know, clearly they probably spent some time over the last couple months or since they lost that game figuring out how to get back on the same page. And Andy must feel that he has no problem with it moving forward or he would not have done this.
What do you think happens to Jimmy G?
I think he gets traded. You know, it's just
But where?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on, you know, if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, that means Denver doesn't have a quarterback. They're going to need something. Pittsburgh, you know, does Deshaun Watson get traded? If he does in the next week, then a team will try to trade for Deshaun Watson probably before Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, I would say Denver would be in play if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get traded. I'd say Pittsburgh would be in play if they don't get a quarterback. And I have a hard time seeing Donnie and Jimmy Garoppolo wanting to go to the Commanders. You know, I mean, I can't see that. So, I mean, to me, Denver and Pittsburgh would make a lot of sense. He has a no trade clause. So, I mean, it's not your 1991 Al Davis, I'm going to trade you wherever the hell I want to trade you. It's they're going to work together. It's a very healthy relationship. So they're going to try to, but ultimately someone's going to have to want them, you know. And I know Schefter said on the PFF podcast, I think part of it is I bet Kyle is like, I just don't want to give this guy away. And I think the football guys are like, well, Kyle, I mean, we got $27 million worth of cap space that we can use to build it around Trey Lance. Because Kyle, there's no way he would know for sure, like, I can go back to the playoffs with Trey Lance. Right now, he may feel a lot better about that after OTAs. But for the last 4 months, once the season started, beside two games that Trey Lance started, Kyle, you're not developing guys during NFL season, especially when your head coach is the offensive coordinator. You're just focused on, you know, the game planning and trying to score points that week. So Kyle will really get to put his hands on Trey Lance, you know, starting in OTAs. And I bet right now he's probably, you know, I'm not saying he's not bullish on his career, but ultimately in 2022, like, he wants to compete for the Super Bowl. And I could see where Kyle, like, has to be, I don't know, talked into it, but, like, the best we can get is a fifth-round pick. I could see Kyle be like, screw that, what does a fifth-round pick do for us? Now, if they get a third-round pick, which ultimately, let's face it, quarterback inflation, they'll probably end up getting, I think you have to do it.
You mentioned Deshaun Watson in there, and we had the report a day ago that teams could potentially be interested in him as long as the criminal aspect of his case is solved by the beginning of April. Obviously, the civil aspect is going to take a long time. Are teams really in on Deshaun Watson? Like, hey, we're monitoring this, and we're going to pounce on him. Are they really thinking he's like option A for us right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've said for him until everything was cleared up, but wrote the other, you know, he's heard multiple teams are ready to trade for him, you know, potentially at, you know, the combine, league op before the league year starts, to have a deal in place without those being figured out. So you know, we can stay what we would do, but ultimately we have a long history of pro sports in these situations, basketball, football, and baseball, when guys of his talent, you know, especially the power of a quarterback, that I expect him to get traded at this point. You know, I really do. He's just – now, I think you could go also on the other side, like if you're the Texans, you're – If it's not figured out, are you getting maximum value? Would it behoove you to wait a little bit to see if they do go away to get that extra, you know, first round pick? If someone's only going to give you 2 ones and 2 twos right now, just because of the uncertainty of his legal situation, I just think there are so many variables in this. It makes it very, very complicated.
Yeah, because I would think. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong here. The team that makes a lot of sense if the off the field wasn't there would be the Steelers. Apparently, you know, there's a mutual appreciation with him and Flores. Everybody thinks Mike Tomlin would be awesome to play for. They need a quarterback. He kind of has some Big Ben, you know, better version athletically of Big Ben, but in terms of holding the ball a little bit too long, like they've lived with that for a long time. And you have a new GM who would love to break out of the "this is how Pittsburgh's always done it" sort of syndrome. The problem is, I just don't know how that works with the off-the-field stuff, especially in a place like Pittsburgh.
You would think Denver would be, if they don't get Rodgers, would be very, very involved. I also think the curveball in this whole situation is Mr. Twitter, Russell Wilson. You know, does he have the stones to just demand a trade? Like, here's what I will say about Rodgers. If Rodgers wants out, he's going to tell him he wants out. Feel like Russell's like sitting on the fence, like, you know, I kind of want to go, but I kind of want to play here, because he hates thinking about people hating him, and all this equity he's built up in Seattle. He doesn't want to totally ruin that. And if you ask for a trade, like, ultimately fans are gonna be mad. But, you know, eventually, if he wants out, he's gonna have to tell him, because under no circumstances are they gonna trade him. But if he demands a trade, you know, you could argue that, you know, they bought low, they got 10 years out of him. I don't know if I would do this, but I would understand if you could get, you know, Howie Roseman to give you 4 first-round picks for him, that maybe it's just time to reset the franchise and get a guy that doesn't really want to be there out of there. But I feel he's very hesitant to put himself out on a limb and ask for what he actually wants.
Jason, excuse me for one sec. I think I agree with you, but I think if we compare Seattle and Green Bay, right, the difference is, as you pointed out, Green Bay is right there in any discussion, and they're far and away the best team in that division. Whereas Seattle, not close to being right there, and, you know, even with all the flaws of Arizona won 10 games this year, was in the playoffs. The Rams won the Super Bowl. San Francisco almost went to and won the Super Bowl. Like, I know that people don't judge their current situation based upon their division. Most quarterbacks don't. Those guys think they're good enough that if I'm healthy, we're going to be fine. But the reality is, Seattle as a franchise should consider it more than Green Bay should ever consider it, because of where they stand in their division and where they stand talent-wise.
The one thing I think, if I was John Schneider, where I'd push back, I'd go, well, we went 3-3 in our division. We swept San Francisco. We beat the living you-know-what out of Arizona week 18 when they had to win the division. We killed them. When, you know, we lost some games when Russell missed with his messed up finger. You know, Rashad Penny at the end of the year, I think he was the leading rusher in December. Now, that was a short sample size, but so if we get a running game, we got some receivers. Now, the defense, I mean, we got a new defensive staff, and it's never going to be what it once was, but if Russell is playing at a Pro Bowl level, we can compete, because we can hang with everyone in the division. And we can. Their problem always is they lose these games to, like, the Lions and like, the Jags. Like, they lose random games. They actually, to me, they play pretty well in the division. But, you know, overall, yeah. Are they talent-wise, top to bottom, as good as some of these other teams in the playoffs? Probably not. And they just don't have the wiggle room, because they don't have the picks. And cap-wise, they're kind of screwed up. But to me, if Russell Wilson is playing at an elite level, I mean, I've just seen them so many times live over the years playing the Niners, and I watch so much NFC West football. I always take them seriously if Russell's humming.
He's on Twitter at John Middlecoff. That is at John Middlecoff, host of the 3 and Out podcast on Volume Sports. John, as always, thanks for taking your time with us here on Fox. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy, fellas. See ya.
Feel better there, Johnny. John does not normally sound that gravelly. He had the gravelly voice working those solid stuff.
He's doing the Aaron Rodgers cleanse. That's what happened. He tried to come on here for 15 minutes, and that's what did it to him. He's doing the cleanse.
Fair enough.
Hey, so real quick, the funny thing about Rodgers is John makes a great point, is that we've seen that if you're a star, you go scorched earth, you'll get what you want, right? Whether you're James Harden or anybody else, you go scorched earth, you can get out, get what you want. And Russell Wilson, it's like, I want out, but I want to still be the good guy. And look, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go out and be the bad guy, which is why he's been doing this dance for so long. It's a rough lesson, but that's one thing that stars need to know is, boy, if I really want out, I go scorched earth, I'll get out. If I don't, teams are going to wait until they absolutely have to make a move. And if Russell Wilson had done a trade me, I want out right now, I'm gone, well, things would be different for him.
Yes and no. I think that, remember, last offseason, Deshaun Watson wanted out, Aaron Rodgers wanted out, Russell Wilson wanted out. None of those teams even engaged in trade discussions. The Texans thing didn't happen until after the season started. It became a foregone conclusion they weren't getting him back. They couldn't get. So the issue is that sounds, the NFL very much does not want to be the NBA. They feel, those guys, those front office people feel like that's one of the things that really hurts the NBA is the not just the power of the players, but the changing of jerseys. One of the things that's great about the NFL is obviously Brady late in his career, Phillip Rivers, Joe Montana, these guys late in their career, oftentimes they play for one new team, but the power of every Sunday I turn on and Dak Prescott's the quarterback of the Cowboys, and Tom Brady was with the Patriots, and Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. The quarterbacks become synonymous with the team, and I don't think there hasn't been, for the most part, like Jalen Ramsey, who has the same agent as Deshaun Watson. Jalen Ramsey forced his way out of Jacksonville, but one, that was Jacksonville, and two, was a cornerback. It's proven much harder to do as a quarterback.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick. Coming up next, speaking of quarterbacks, one quarterback, I kind of dare this team to not trade him. That's next right here, Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Happy Friday. And I'd like to say that I knew this was coming, and that's why we mentioned Russell Wilson and being the bad guy if he really wants out of Seattle. But I swear to God, I didn't know until we got this story coming in right now a couple of minutes ago. Thanks to John Middlecoff for stopping by, talking NFL with us. We got to quarterbacks. We got to Russell Wilson's situation for a couple of minutes there at the end. And we talked about, hey, needing to be the bad guy if you want out and go scorched earth. Well, it's not quite scorched earth, but Russell Wilson has purged his Twitter bio and profile photo of all mentions of the Seahawks, this happening just a little bit ago. He changed his Twitter profile picture from him in a Seahawks uniform to a snapshot that showed him in a jersey during his prep school days in his native Virginia. So here it is, Doug, and you know one of my favorite things that you say all the time is, it's awesome that we can get someone hitting a like button or a retweet button and getting 4 hours worth of drama. What do you lay into this that now here's Russell Wilson being the latest guy to scrub his team off of his social media profile?
It's like so pathetically immature, but it's like the times. It's like it's the hey kids, like can I be cool now sort of thing, right? The Steve Buscemi. What's up, fellow teenagers? That's what it feels like to me, right? It just does. Wait, this is how you do it, Kyler Murray? You take, and that's how everybody knows you're mad, you're big mad. So, look, the quarterback market is going to be a big one, and he hasn't been willing to. But you don't have to do it that way. Why do you have to be public about it? You just go to John Snyder and say, "I want out. Find me a new home." You know. Now, if you go through those steps and they don't take you seriously, you know, then you kind of got to go scorched earth. But this idea that it's the same thing as people say, it's okay, you know, you can work out without posting it on Instagram. It's okay. you can have new shoes that you get or a new car or any sort of life-changing event without posting it. So
go to lunch. I'm going to put my lunch on social media. Look what I had for lunch today. That's one of my favorites.
Yes. So, but yeah, I mean, I think he's telling you what, if we use Kyler Murray as our gauge, like I don't think anyone truly knew Kyler was that unhappy, but then that comes out and now it's like, wait, oh, you're unhappy, Kyler? Tell me more about it. That's what this one feels like.
Yeah, I mean, look, for all of this, we talk about the immaturity in social media is I always have to remember how seriously athletes treat social media. Right. Like I like to think that I know how to run Twitter pretty well. I say what I want to say, interact how I want to interact. But for many athletes, social media is it is the lifeblood of everything. That, you know, look, the attention we pay when someone says something or retweets something or likes something. So when an athlete does something on social media, this is not just, hey, I'm doing this for a whim. I want to pay an homage to my high school days or my prep days. No, this is I want to send a message. And again, this is Russell Wilson. Hey, I just kind of want to send a message. I don't want to be the bad guy. I just want to send a message. I wish he would just say, now I want out. I'm sorry it hasn't worked out. Because he clearly is someone that has, for a long time, had the grass is greener itch. And when you get that itch of things may be different someplace else, it's impossible to go back and say, no, I'm going to choose the road less traveled. I wish he would just say, I want out and let's make it happen, because the Seahawks would do it. They would make it happen at this point. We already knew what they wanted for him last year. They wanted a bunch of first round picks, and if you really want to call for it. So yeah, that's you got to do. Forget about this. Go full. You got to go scorched earth. Go scorched earth and do it. You'll get your trade.
I don't think you have to go scorched earth publicly. I just don't. But also Russell is one of those guys that he wants to be liked. He wants to be seen as normal. He wants to be just like all the, he sits next, kind of him sitting next to Roger Goodell the last 2 years. I'm sure he's sitting there going, like, look at these last two quarterbacks that won it. They left their previous home and immediately went to and won the Super Bowl. But there's also the, like, he's the guy that sits, that brings the apple to the teacher. He's the guy that sits next to the, he so badly wants to be liked and be cool that sometimes it does damage to the fact that he's a damn good quarterback and maybe one on his way out of Seattle.
Brown knows it. Brown knows it. All right, real quick, Doug, last 10 seconds. Percentage yes. chance Wilson gets traded?
70.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.